Welcome to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Be sure to check out Greg at www.gregdwyer.com. That's www.gregdwyer.com. Now on to our show. Take it away, Greg.
So we are going into the second quarter of the year. I can't believe it. I cannot believe that January, February, and March have come to an end. And here we are. Oh, my gosh. It's the 21st of April. We are in the second quarter. I don't know how you're doing with those New Year's Eve resolutions. I don't even know if you're thinking about those things. I don't know if you're on track. But I will tell you this. If you don't have a very good self-concept, and my guest today is Gina Dolan. She's going to talk about the imposter syndrome. This is the key of feeling worthy of your goals, the key about being worthy about the things that you want to go after. And so if you really don't have a proper understanding of yourself, or if you struggle with this idea of not feeling worthy, listen in. Gina, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm so glad our paths crossed. I do believe in synchronicity. So how did you get involved with this? I know you're a professional speaker. I know you've done a TED Talk. I've known you, you also do coaching. But how did this come to you? What was the backstory of this?
Well, most people do go through feelings of I'm not good enough, or I'm a fraud, or I'm an imposter. And there are various things that can actually trigger those feelings. It's usually something that takes you significantly out of your comfort zone. So a big promotion, a large increase in salary, changing careers, there's all sorts of things that can trigger those feelings. And I personally went through that at the beginning of my career.
Now, you told me before we started the broadcast, and I don't want to get into numbers, and I know you won't share it, but you were encouraged to ask for a certain salary, and you were shocked in getting it, right? Is that true? And what were the feelings behind that once that happened?
That was my trigger. And I had a group of friends, and actually I've given a presentation called You've Got to Get a Fan Club, that everybody needs one. And that's what happened to me. My fan club said, Gina, you're wasting your talent here. You could make so much more money. And they really kind of helped me get my new job. But they really said, ask for more money. And I took that leap of faith. I did. And then when I got there, I was like, oh, my gosh, I think I must have oversold myself.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was scary times.
So how, you know, I guess I can relate. I can relate. I think we all can relate. How do you overcome that? Or more specifically, how did you deal with that? How did you overcome that? Was it just a matter of time and going through, you know, working with them that eventually it wore off? What was your process?
Well, I wish I had gone back to my fan club because I think they would have been a great help. I didn't. I suffered in silence, which too many people do. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that I keep relearning throughout my life is that your friends, your really good friends, are so important to getting you through the tough times. And so for me, what I did, and I know some people do this, is I just seriously put my nose to the grindstone and, you know, work long hours and work really hard and ask people, you know, what do you want, what do you need, and then delivered. And fortunately, after about, you know, 30 days, 6 weeks, those feelings started to truly subside. I don't recommend that because you don't necessarily sleep all that well. you know, there's all sorts of side effects about suffering in silence. And since then, I've studied to be a coach, and I've learned all sorts of things that can really help tame those gremlins.
Yeah, I remember years ago starting a new position at a college, and I remember walking into the situation. It was kind of out of my element, and I remember picking up a book called The First 90 Days, and I don't know if it really talked about the syndrome here, the imposter syndrome, but this just idea that how you start with a new boss or a new company and the perception that they have with you, it's really important. And I've used that in other cases too, when I've gone into relationships with different corporations or businesses, or, and it's the first 90 days, it's the first impression, you know, and after that, they're probably not looking at every move that you make all the time. So how does this show up other than not feeling worthy of the money or the position? Does this also show up in other areas like relationships or, you know, maybe just money management? I don't feel good about myself. I'm not going to save money. Is it a general thing, or is it just show up in kind of like one area? What's your take of it?
I think it can show up in a lot of ways. And I've done a lot of research on this subject. So for me, I'm an action-oriented person. So that was a natural reaction that I had. But people who think that they're not good enough, it can freeze them, you know, deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
And that's one of the worst reactions you can have, or you just don't start something because fear of failure and, you know, I'm a fraud, I'm not this good. And when I first went into engineering school to learn how to write software, it was funny. It was really challenging and very, very hard. And I remember one of my colleagues, I think I said something to her about being scared. And she said, "No way. You know, you seem so confident." I'm like, I think there's only the three people in the back row who are going to ace this class. And they one had her master's in math, and another person had a PhD in math. And so... those, you know, they're like, "Oh, algorithms. Oh, yes, I know exactly what those are." I'm like, "Huh?"
I know that there's certain areas that I don't belong in. Like years ago, I'm talking like a couple decades ago, I was in between jobs and someone said to me, "Hey, there's a position opening at the school. They're looking for somebody to teach algebra." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, why would you be asking me?" And they said, no, don't worry about it. You just need to be one step ahead of the students. And I said, "Listen, number one, I don't like algebra. I don't like math. I don't want to do this. And I don't want to step into this." Like, so it wasn't necessarily imposter syndrome. It was like, this is not my wheelhouse. Like, this is not my forte. But I have experienced feelings of not feeling good enough. And then I say to myself, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this, or maybe this is one of the ways that you help your clients, good enough compared to what? Good enough in
exactly.
What regard? Like, what are we measuring this? Are we measuring this, you know, is Moses or Jesus Christ or Buddha? I mean, who are we measuring enough with? Like, it's kind of ridiculous if you think about it.
It is, and it took me a while, you know, to figure that out. Exactly. I came to that conclusion in my early 20s because I kept saying, "I'm not smart enough," you know, and and I think that's common. But I think the other thing that contributes big time and that you have to really be careful about is not comparing yourself to others. Like I said, you know, the three people in the back row who all had advanced degrees in mathematics, and there were aspects of the software programming that were like swimming like dolphins. The rest of us were struggling. So, but to compare yourself to somebody who has spent that much time studying this and that's a subject that they're comfortable with is going to lead you down a bad road.
Yeah, it almost, you know, I'm starting to think about social media. Like, you're looking at social media every day, and like, "Oh, wow, look at this person. Look what they're doing." And it's constantly feeding into this, isn't it?
Well, and I think some of the TV shows do that as well, you know, the rich and famous. And I was trying to get more organized, and I started watching The Home Edit. And I'm like, okay, well, this is a TV show only for people who live in you know, Beverly Hills, or because the money they were spending on their closets and all these gadgets, I'm like, I don't think
right.
so.
Yeah. Yeah. What brings me down to earth, and I've heard somebody say this many, many years ago, is there's always someone that is superior to you, and there's always someone that is inferior to you. So if you've been studying this or you've been studying something, you are definitely superior than most people who have never even looked at it, right? And then in some cases, you are inferior. Like, you know, if I talk to somebody that's a brain surgeon, I would expect that I'm going to be inferior in that conversation. So when I ask those two questions, enough compared to whom or what, that kind of grounds me. And the other one is to realize that I'm an expert in my field and other people are not, and they're an expert in their field and I'm not an expert in their field. How could we be?
And that's a great segue, because there are two other things that you need to think about, and one is values. And when you talked about how being you didn't want to be an algebra teacher. So when you look at what are your personal values, if your neighbor has the latest Mercedes, you might feel a bit envious. And then you think that I have two kids that I want to send to college, and that's my top priority. Those are my values. So the money that I could use to buy that Mercedes would mean my kids don't get to go to college. So you need to bring it back in and look at your own, what is it you really want, and how does that, you know, and are you succeeding in your own personal goals?
I think it comes down to focus. Like, you know, I was doing a lecture a couple months ago, and a woman said, where do you find time to do everything? And I said, well, I don't think you can do everything. I think you have to focus on what's really important to you and pursue that, unless you believe in reincarnation. you gotta get really focused and really clear on what you want to go after, which is, again, exactly what you're saying, your values.
Yeah, and one of the other things that I think really helps people is reframing their thoughts. And we kind of talked about that a little bit in comparing when you talk about I'm not good enough. And if you are having thoughts like that, you know, I'm not a good professor, I'm not a good father or mother, that what makes you think that, you know, and really look at what's driving these thoughts. Is it because you missed your kid's softball game, but this is the first time you've done it, missed it, you know? And if that's really important to you, then maybe you need to modify your priority. So really looking at what's driving these thoughts, and is there any reality to it?
Well, I wanted to ask you, do you think it has to do with unconscious beliefs that were formed in childhood? You know, I've been doing a lot of study about attraction theory and attachment theory and how we were raised, you know, by our parents. Have you looked into that much? You know, this idea that, you know, a lot of this is probably issues from childhood.
I personally haven't found that to be true. I mean, you know, throughout school, I was kind of sailing along. And even when I went in for software engineering to study that, I passed, I did good. And it wasn't until there was a big change in my financial situation. And I was like, oh my gosh, they actually said, yes, they're going to pay me that much money. And then I just started worrying, but I didn't, thoughts can be circular. And so sometimes it helps to write it down or talk it out, because you stop that negative circle of, you know, self-talk. And that's what you've got to do, is start looking at what is the reality. You know, I didn't lie during the interview process. The people who interviewed me weren't stupid. You know, they'd hired people before. So why was why were these feelings coming up for me? Yeah. So, you know.
And what did you find out?
Everything's unique.
What did you find out? Like, what was the cause of I don't feel worthy of this salary?
Mainly, well, I was I had been an industry analyst reporting on the software industry, and they hired me to be an internal analyst, and so that's kind of the part that was foolish, because they had actually seen my work and liked it. So if I had had that self-talk, or even just talked to my good friends who had encouraged me to go for this, that probably would have stopped a lot of this negative thoughts in its track.
I also think it comes down to conditioning. You know, they say that a person surrounded by five people is going to influence you on your salary, your beliefs, your station in life, if you will. So I think a lot has to do with, this is how much my father made, I made, this is what's comfortable for me. And I'm thinking, now that I hear myself talk, this is way out of your comfort zone.
Oh, it was for me at the time, absolutely.
Yeah,
And
so that's what
that's,
I think it
like
is.
Like I said, one of the big triggers for feeling like a fraud is that there's this dramatic change in some aspect of your life. And, you know, but it's also, like I said, part of what I did was talk about getting a fan club, because I've seen the power of having people who really support and encourage you and even challenge you. Not just the, it might be nice for a while to feel like if somebody's like, oh, you're always so wonderful, la, la, la. But, they were saying to me, you can do better. And they were right. And, I evidently was underpaid and didn't even know it.
Yeah, I had an uncle like that. He was in show business, Uncle Victor Riley. And, he would say to me, this is go back 20 years ago. He'd go, look, I know you're in this group and you're working here and you're doing that, but I don't think you see your greatness. I don't, and this was even my father's brother. This is my sister's, my mother's sister's husband. So he was a family member that was married into the family. And he would say to me, you just don't see it, do you? And I'd say, no, what do you mean? He goes, you don't see your talent, or you don't see your expertise in this area. And I think we need people like that who are going to be objective and are going to encourage us.
And challenge us. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And I know you're a fan of Les Brown, because we talked about that, and he has a
saying
that I love.
Yeah, I met him in Connecticut many years ago. Yeah.
And, that he says, sometimes somebody else's belief in you to be enough. And so if you listen to your uncle, I listen to my friends, that's going to help you stretch and grow and, find your own.
Yeah, and the other thing that gives me comfort is I think a lot of our thoughts are just simply made up. Like, they're not based in reality. We think they're real. I'm reading a book right now called Transforming Yourself, and he talks about how we see ourselves. I'm only like 10 pages in, but he talks about how we see ourselves is really self-concept, and it's a map. Like, it's like you live in Virginia, I live in Connecticut. In Virginia, I could pull out a map, when we used to have maps, now they're on our phones, but even a map on the phone, it's a replica. It's not the real thing. It could never be the real thing, because you can't have a duplication of the real thing. There's just not enough space for that. So all of this is just a re-representation of what Virginia looks like, or Richmond looks like, or Connecticut looks like. And I think a lot of our thoughts and our perception about ourselves is an incomplete map. And I think when other people get involved in our life, they see things that we don't see, and they complete the puzzle or the map. You know what I mean?
Well, I really like that analogy, because I haven't updated the GPS in my car lately, and it doesn't always get things right. And
right. Isn't that great? Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
We have an old image of ourselves saying, I'm really good at physics, but you haven't looked at it in 10 years. Maybe you're not so good in that category anymore.
I remember.
And because you focus. On something else.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going with it?
that your interests change. And so if your focus changes, now you may be studying something else, but you're still looking back at your image from 10 years ago instead of where you are right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember hearing a conversation that David Letterman had with Johnny Carson, and I guess Johnny said to David one time, he says, listen, I just want to let you know, it's never as good as you think, and it's never as bad. Like, Dave was, like, really upset, came home after the late show with Letterman, and he's like, that show, it was terrible. And he called Johnny Carson, or Johnny said, listen, it's never as bad as you think, and it's never as good as you think. You know, like, you're a speaker, you're on stage, you know, you think you did really well, or you think you didn't do that great. It's all subjective. If you had 100 people in the room, you got 100 different opinions.
Well, and that's why we can have hundreds of speakers, because the words we use resonate with different groups of people. And so you can say something, you know, many different ways. And the analogies you use, I took a math class in college. It was statistics. And the professor was so enamored with baseball. And it was such a turnoff. I dropped out of that class and took it with somebody else who didn't turn every single word problem into baseball. It's how you say things as well. And the words
and it's also personality. I think it's personality. It's like you walk, I know you do a lot of speaking. You walk on stage and you connect with some people maybe not. I think it's the same with myself. I don't think you can win everybody over. You know, one of my mentors told me, and you probably heard this before being in the NSA, is it's not about perfection, right? It's about connection. So the other day, a friend of mine and I went and I spoke at the veterans, and it was a really nice group of folks. And I've never done this before. I've never spoken for them. And I remember saying to myself as I walked up, I said, you know, it's not about me getting a perfect score here as far as crossing the T's and dotting the I's and saying everything that I want to say. What it really is about making a connection. And I kept that in my head as I walked up there. And I did. I felt really great about it, the connection that I made with people, because I can't control what other people think. And in some cases, I can't even control what I think, Gina.
Well, and it's not just that. It's like, you know, everybody comes to a presentation with a certain frame, you know, looking at it from a specific view. And I can remember training some salespeople. And as I looked at the small group, most people were engaged. They were smiling. They were asking questions. And why this man chose to sit in the front row to sleep, I don't know. Maybe his boss was behind him and he didn't want his boss to see that he was sleeping. But I said to myself, clearly this guy is not interested in this topic, or he would have, you know, maybe gotten a good night's sleep. But I don't know. I mean, maybe he had a newborn that kept him up all night. So it's not just about you. It's what was their experience.
Yeah.
Before they come into the room.
I can't believe it. Time flies when you're having fun. We only have 6 minutes yet. 7 minutes left. If I keep on talking, we'll have 5 minutes. How do people get a hold of you, Gina?
LinkedIn is the best way to reach out to me. You just have to do a search on my name and spell my last name with an I, D-O-L-I-N, and you'll find me.
Okay, good. So if they want to hire you as a speaker, or if you want to work with, you know, you as a coach, because I know you also do coaching, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I've had a couple of my clients say that I am their confidence coach.
Whoa, okay.
That was
what my clients have said.
That wasn't,
So is it 3 months? Is it 1 month? Is it one session? What do you normally do for helping people with confidence?
When in the coaching space, I always do a discovery call to see if we're a good match and to understand what are their goals. And depending on their goals, I mean, that really kind of dictates a lot of, you know, where we're going or how long we need to chat.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I think a lot of people don't know what they want. And the second thing is I think they need a cheerleader, you know. So if you're their confidence coach, you can hold them accountable, but at the same time, you can show them their greatness if they're struggling with the imposter syndrome.
Yes. Yeah, we talk a lot about, you know, where are these thoughts coming from, you know, and how
exactly.
Can we reframe some of that? And, you know, mm-hmm. Is this your opinion and everybody else thinks you're great? You know, why is this out of focus?
Right, right. So we only have 4 minutes left. Last question I want to ask you is this. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Like, do you have a plan? What's your 5-year plan? Where do you want to be? What's your vision?
I really love being on stage and presenting. That's my true passion. I love my clients mm-hmm. that I coach, and mm-hmm. I get a great kick out of that, and I love seeing people succeed. But there's just mm-hmm. something special about being able to deliver your message in person.
Right. Right. And I know during the COVID, a lot of us were moving to online and Zoom and,
oh yeah,
you know, things have opened up, you know, so people are having live events. I remember a couple of years ago, people, we are never going to have live events ever again. People are never going to be able to gather. And I remember just hearing all of that saying, no, there's something about being in a live event of a group of people that you just can't get over Zoom. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And I found that when I was presenting using Zoom, I had to change my style. I made it twice as interactive as I usually do,
mm-hmm.
and that
mm-hmm.
worked.
Excellent. Well, I really appreciate you being on the podcast. Let me ask you, did it go by fast? I said it was going to go by fast.
It did, yeah.
Yeah. So, again, if someone wants to reach out to you, and I know they will, just to give you the feedback, reach out to you to hire you as a coach or a speaker. The best
ask
way
questions.
Is to go to LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And ask questions. Yeah. Yes. All right. Gina. That's Gina. And then D is
yep.
in day. Olin. And you were telling me
sure.
earlier that that name was shortened, and that you actually have a Dwyer in your family, which I thought
well,
maybe we were
many
related.
Dwyers in my family. Yeah, my great grandma.
Wow.
Molly came over on the boat. Yep.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? My father did a genealogy. He gave it to me before he passed. And, you know, that name sounds familiar. I'm going to have to dig that out and look to see if we have some kind of connection. But, yeah, a lot of Dwyers came over. And the other side of the story is my grandparents are Italian, and they came over as well. So, it's great to be in America. It's great to have freedom, and it's great to be able to share our voice and to, you know, really let people know, you know, if you struggle with the imposter syndrome, you're in good company, because I think we all do. And if it were not for our grandparents and our relatives and our ancestors that got outside of their comfort zone and left what they thought was familiar to what was unfamiliar, do you realize we wouldn't be talking right now?
Well, that's true. And I'm sure that it was, you know, especially during the time that they were traveling by a boat, it was...
I know. Yeah.
Oh, really? You had to be truly dedicated to getting over here to the United States, or, as they sometimes say, ignorance can be bliss until you actually tell
yeah.
the reality.
Yeah, yeah. I remember being in Ireland. I don't know if you've ever been in Ireland, but I was in Ireland one time. They showed us the boat, you know, and the name Dwyer. I forget the first name, but the name Dwyer was on the plaque. And I thought to myself, you know, how in the world can I complain about being afraid of stepping out into the unknown when our ancestors did these things? So, Gina, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. We only have about 40 seconds left. Give your website again, which is your name.
Yeah, for LinkedIn, all you have to do is put in the search bar Gina Dolin, D-O-L-I-N, and I'm confident you'll find me. And I would love
Excellent.
To hear from you. So.
Okay, sounds good. Gina, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We are out. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. Check out Greg at gregdwyer.com. Be sure to download his ebook at gregdwyerebook.com to stay focused on what matters most to you. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. We want to thank you for listening. Now go make a difference in your world.